Oh, beloved, do you look at what's going on in our world today? And do you think it's never going to straighten out? It'll never, never change. I mean, has despair grabbed you? Have you lost hope? Oh, don't lose hope, because He is the Lord God. And there is nothing too difficult for Him. He's the God of all flesh. God has a plan. He's working it out. It will soon come to pass. We'll see that today. Oh, beloved, don't let despair overtake you. Don't say there's no hope. Don't say it's always going to be this bad, because God watches over His word to perform it, because God is a covenant-keeping God. And so when we come to Jeremiah chapter 33, we have seen in chapter 22 that He is the Lord, that He is the God of all flesh, and that there's nothing too hard for Him. We have seen in Jeremiah chapter 33 that He is the one that made the earth, who formed it, who established it. He is the one who says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Now, as we come to Jeremiah chapter 33 in verse 12, we're going to see why there is no despair. We're going to see why God can say to Israel, yes, I'm going to judge you. Yes, the Babylonians are going to come in. Yes, it's going to be bad. And as Leviticus 26 says, you're going to suffer seven times for your sin. But because God is a covenant-keeping God, because He watches over His word to perform it, because if He makes a promise, He is going to stand by the promise, then God is going to restore the fortunes of Israel. You have heard people say, listen, Israel needs to give that land to the Palestinians. It is their land. People that say that don't know the word of God. The Palestinians want to drive Israel into the sea. They do not recognize them as a nation, as a people. Do you know that today's lesson is going to address all that? And behind it all is this one sterling fact that is immutable, and that is that God is God. He is God. And so this is what we're seeing all this week. I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? So listen to what He says. Verse 12 of Jeremiah 33. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And when He says Lord of hosts, He's showing Himself as the one that is in charge, as Jehovah Sabaoth, the one that is the captain of everything in the heavens, all the armies, all the demonic forces, the good angels, the bad angels. He's the captain of that host. He's the captain of all the hosts and every army on the face of the earth. And this is what He says. There will be again in this place, He says, which is waste. Now, it's not waste yet, but it's going to be waste. And He's told them that because of their sins. Which is waste without man or beast. And in all the cities, a habitation of shepherds who rest their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the Negev, that's south of Jerusalem. It's on the way down to Eilat, to the Red Sea. And He says, in the land of Benjamin, in the environs of Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, the flocks will again pass under the hands of the ones who numbers them. And this is what happens, is the sheep would line up, the shepherd would be there, he would be with his crook, and he would stop the sheep, he numbers them, he counts them, he makes sure that they're all there. He says, it's going to happen again. It's going to be a waste now. It's going to be desolation. It's not going to have an inhabitant, but there will be, again, even shepherds counting their sheep. And this is what he says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Now, when God declares, that's it. I mean, you may believe it, you may not believe it. It doesn't matter. God has declared it. It stands. It says, and you know what? I feel sorry, so sorry for those people that take this human puny fist and raise it in the face of God and turn their back on God and walk in their own way to do their own thing and think they can get away with it, when the only reason that they can raise that puny little fist in the face of God is because God ordained to give them breath so that they might live at that moment, so that they might live at that day. They just don't know. He says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, those of you that have been studying with us in the Old Testament, those of you especially that have gone even deeper and have connected with our ministry and gotten into precept classes and have been studying Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy all the way up through the Bible to this time, you know the good word that he has promised. You know and you understand the covenants. People have told us that have done our precept courses, which are like the Cadillac of courses. They have told us, you know, every moment of investment has been worth it. It has changed my life. It has transformed me. It has enabled me to go forward because I know God. I know God. And you say, I would like to know about those classes. Go to preceptsforlife.com. Go online, preceptsforlife.com. And you say, but I can't go online. Then pick up the phone and call 1-800-763-1990. 1-800-763-1990. And be in touch with us, and we'll show you how we can take you deeper and deeper so you will understand the Word of God and have a new dimension and a new sense, a strong foundation for hope. This is what he says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, now you want to put a green circle around in those days because it's a time phrase. It's telling you when God is going to do something. In those days and at that time, it's all a time phrase. There's a day coming. There's a time coming. He says, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he will execute justice and righteousness on the earth. You see, if you don't understand that God is going to do this, if you don't understand that this righteous branch of David is going to come and take over the governing of this earth, I mean, you could get so frustrated. Because you look at what's happening in our nation. You look at what's happening in other nations. You look at the world and it's a mess and it's chaos. And these little human beings, these heads of countries and presidents think that they have the answer. That they can straighten out things. That they can bring peace on the earth. And so they move us into, or they try to move us into their form of government because they think it's going to be through a form of government. Hey, there's only one government that is going to straighten out this earth right now. There is only one government that is going to be a good government, and you're never going to wish that you didn't elect a person or that you had seen what was coming or whatever. Listen to who this one is. He says, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. Justice will reign. Righteousness will reign. Sin will be brought to an end. In those days, the same days now, you mark a time phrase. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. Now, is Jerusalem dwelling in safety now? No. They're always prepared for terrorist attacks. We go every year. We take Bible teaching tours. People go over there and they say, you know, where's all this that's on the news? I thought we were in danger, but they still wanted to come. You're not in danger. We wouldn't take you if you were. But I mean, everybody gets an inductive study Bible. We teach all day long. It is absolutely incredible. And I'm not the kind that just shows up several nights of the week and does something spectacular. I'm with you all day long. And we're studying together. But there is a day coming when Jerusalem will dwell in total safety. Why? Because the righteous branch will be here. Because the righteous branch will be executing justice and will be executing righteousness. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. Verse 16, and this is the name by which she will be called. She who? Jerusalem. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Sidken you. Jehovah Sidken you. It's the name, one of the names for God. And it's the Lord is our righteousness. And then it says, for thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man before me to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to prepare sacrifices continually. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, there's a new era coming. There is a new reign coming. There is a righteous branch of David that is coming, and he will execute justice, and he will execute righteousness on the earth, and Jerusalem will not be hassled by any nation. Jerusalem will dwell in safety. Why? Because God fulfills his word. Aren't you glad to know that? You say, explain a little bit more. I would love to. I'll be back in just a minute. God started in Jeremiah chapter 31 with a promise of a covenant, a new covenant. God in Jeremiah chapter 32 was saying, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? In Jeremiah 33, he has already said to us, I am the one that created the heaven, the earth, and I established it. Call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not. He has said it over and over again. I will restore the fortunes. And you're saying, when? It's when he brings his righteous branch and establishes peace and righteousness and justice on this earth. It's when Jerusalem is going to dwell in safety. It's when the Levitical priests are going to be in the temple offering burnt offerings continually to the Lord. Watch, let me read the rest of it, and then we'll come back and we will look at it. Verse 19 is where I stopped in Jeremiah 33. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that night and day will not be at their appointed time. So that what you would have is day, and then you'd have 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 a night thrown in, or you'd have night, and then day. Hey, if you can mess up what God has made a covenant for, then you can mess up God. But you can't mess up God. You just look every morning when you get up. You have day because of the covenant of God. Every night you have night because of the covenant of God. Now, a covenant is a solemn binding agreement. And what I do is I mark covenant by coloring it red and then putting a yellow box around it. I color it red because when it talks about he made a covenant, it's karath berith, which karath means to cut. So there's a shedding of blood. And then I put yellow around it because God is the administrator of all covenants. A covenant, as I said, is a solemn binding agreement. And so I put yellow around it to show that God is the one that sees that that covenant is kept. And if it's broken, God acts as a judge. So now watch, and you want to mark covenant. I hope that you've gone online. I hope you've connected with us. I hope you're downloading these studies so that we can take you deeper. This is the whole purpose of Precept Ministries International. So he says, thus says the Lord, verse 20, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he will not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levitical priests, with David and with the Levitical priests, my ministers. If you can do that, if you can break this, if you can stop day and night, then you can stop this from happening. You can't stop day and night. God's covenant with David will not be broken. Now, what is God's covenant with David? Well, you would want to write down 2 Samuel chapter 7, and you would want to go back and read that passage. But just 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I want us to look at verse 16, because God is making a covenant. He is making a covenant with David. And that covenant is a promise that David will always have someone to sit on the throne. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 16, he says, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Forever. Forever is forever. And it says, your throne shall be established forever. In other words, he promised David that David would always have someone who would sit on his throne, on God's throne, who would rule for him. So we have this promise with David. Now, when Zedekiah was taken to Babylon, I mean, that was the end of the descendants of David sitting on the throne. It looks like it's over, and God is saying, oh, no, it's not over. I'm the God. I created the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too difficult for me. It's not over. So what does he do? There's a cry. There's a cry of a baby born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the city of David. It's a descendant of David. It is the Son of God. It is Christ, the Messiah. Christ and Messiah are the same, the anointed one, the promised one. He is the one that is going to come, and he is going to sit on the throne of David as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the righteous branch of David. And that righteous branch of David, beloved, will rule in justice and will rule in righteousness. And Jerusalem will be secure and Jerusalem will be at rest because his throne will be in Jerusalem. And this is what he is saying. And not only that, but the priests will be over here in the temple, which is in Jerusalem, rebuilt. And the priests will be offering continual burnt offerings to the Lord. You say, but I thought those offerings were gone. Well, wait until we study Ezekiel, and you will see it and you will understand it. God made a covenant with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is the Davidic covenant. And if you get your study guide, you're going to see the other verses that go with this in Chronicles. But he made that covenant next to Jeremiah in your Bible, and I hope you have an inductive study Bible that teaches you how to study the Bible for yourself, but you want to write Numbers 25, 10 to 13. Write it next to verse 21 of chapter 33. And it says in Numbers 25, 10 to 13, that God makes a covenant with the house of Levi, that they will always have a priesthood. He talks about this in Malachi chapter 2 verses 1 to 9. And this is what he says. My covenant will, he says, as the host of heaven, verse 22, cannot be counted and the sand of the sea cannot be measured. So I will multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, have you not observed that this people has spoken saying, the two families which the Lord chose, he has rejected them? Thus they despise my people. No longer are they as a nation in their sight. That's what the world is saying. Israel's not a nation. This land belongs to the Palestinians. No, it doesn't. God gave it to Israel under covenant as an everlasting possession. He promised it to Abraham. He ratified the covenant with Isaac. He ratified the covenant with Jacob and his 12 sons as a perpetual covenant. He says, thus says the Lord, if my covenant for not day and night shall not, if my covenant for day and night stand not, and the fixed patterns of the heaven and the earth I have not established, then I would reject the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, not taking from his descendants rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But his covenant stands. I will restore, he says, look at it, verse 26, I will restore their fortunes and will have mercy on them. He's God. Bow the knee.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Okay, it's our time. It's our precept for life. How do we put this into, how do we put it into our understanding, into our mind, into our heart? How do we live accordingly? Don't you love it? I just have to stop and say, don't you absolutely love it? Doesn't it absolutely thrill your heart to see these truths, to understand, to have an understanding so that when you see what's going on in the world, when you see all of this activity of the nations against Israel, of America, America having the arrogance to tell Israel what they should be doing with their land. I mean, if Israel listens to America instead of listening to God, Israel is sinning and God will judge Israel. I mean, to know this, it's absolutely liberating. And you know what? It lowers the blood pressure when you listen to the news and when you see these arrogant men telling Israel what they are to do when Israel has a God in heaven that has never left his throne. God is saying to us that he is going to raise up David, a descendant of David. Now, as we go through, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And you're going to see it clearly in, you see it clearly in Jeremiah. You see it clearly in Ezekiel. God's going to resurrect David. David's going to rule over Israel. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to rule over the world. If you study the New Testament, hey, you and I are going to rule according to our faithfulness as children of God. Some may rule over 10 cities, some may rule over 5. But know this, God is going to be supremely in charge. It will be a time of justice. It will be a time of righteousness, and it will be a time of lowered blood pressures because finally, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ and of his God. And there will be a temple and God will be worshiped because God watches over his covenants to perform them. You do not want to miss tomorrow. As we look again at the next chapter, but as we steep ourselves in this understanding of the fact that he is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, a covenant God that holds others accountable for their covenants. You don't want to miss it because covenant gives you that surety that he is God and in control. There's nothing too hard for him.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.